The Vox Markets Podcast with Justin Waite. Nothing in this podcast is intended as investment advice, and the people in this podcast may hold positions in the stocks they talk about. Do not buy anything based solely on a tip or recommendation. Please do your own research.
Welcome to the podcast on Thursday, the 3rd of January 2019. On the podcast today, I have Stephen Williams, Co-Chief Executive Officer of Rehobold Resources, RBD is ticker there, and Stephen discusses the successful result of the VG4 well, one of their investments in California. Also on the podcast, Chris Bailey, founder of financialorbit.com, covers Next and their Christmas trading update, of course a stalwart of the high street and online, and almost seen as a bellwether really. Plus, I also have, as always, the top five most followed companies on Vox Markets in the last 24 hours, and the top five most liked RNSs too. By the way, you can see top 10 versions of these lists at voxmarkets.co.uk.
To receive free company updates straight to the front screen of your smartphone whenever a company you follow releases significant news, download the free Vox Markets app from voxmarkets.co.uk/app.
And joining me on the podcast right now is Stephen Williams, co-CEO of Rehobold Resources. RBD is the ticker there. Stephen, thanks for joining me.
Oh, thank you very much for having me.
And I was just going to say, it's been the Christmas period and many people take time off, but you've been very busy, I suppose, because you've had a lot of things going on. Before we get into that and what's been going on, for people not familiar, Stephen, with the company, can you just summarise what Rehobold's all about, please?
Yeah, I mean, Rehobold was set up to take advantage of a very specific opportunity in the upstream oil and gas space. And what we do is we identify very high quality, de-risked, pre-cash flow assets, really at the appraisal stage. And what we're essentially there to do is fund the key appraisal drilling event that will unlock value within that underlying asset and then allow it to be monetized in an optimal way in the relatively near future. So we can take advantage of very specific market conditions which have led to those high quality projects in that part of the industry being valued at extremely low valuations, both by industry and by financial markets. So we get it at an extremely attractive price. We provide the capital that unlocked value within the project, and then we'll look to monetization in a relatively near term.
Yeah, and you're involved in the UK, in America, and also in Romania, aren't you?
Yeah, that's right. So we've got three wells currently either drilling or about to be drilled in the UK portfolio. We should be drilling in Romania in Q1 as well, and we've already had a couple of successful wells in California.
Yeah, well, let's talk about that. We're talking about the VG4 well, the West Brentwood license. Take us through that. You got a successful result there.
Yeah, so people who have been following the story may remember we decided to drill VG4, which is the follow-on well to the successful discovery we had at VG3 well at West Brentwood last year. Going to be drilling a different asset in California, Monroe Swell, first. That got delayed due to the extremely heavy rainfall in California. The advantage we have having a broad portfolio of assets is we were able to redirect efforts, move the rig up to West Brentwood and drill the VG4 well. As I say, it was the follow-on to the successful VG3 well a few months ago.
Yeah, excellent stuff. So what do we know about this, VG4? What's the deal here? What's going to happen here?
Yep, so the VG4 well hit TD a couple of days ago. It is a successful discovery, and we had extremely good oil and gas shows in the target horizon. This is the same horizon which is productive at VG3, and we've had full logging services done on this by Halliburton, and they've confirmed the presence of extremely good pay. So in all honesty, it looks very much like VG3 did at this stage. It's a successful discovery, and the operator over there, our contract operator, Integrity, is now in the process of putting this onto production.
Yeah, when you say very similar to VG3, are you talking about sort of flow rates as well?
So, we don't have a flow rate yet because it hasn't flowed yet. We just haven't got that far. We made the announcement as soon as we saw we had what we considered to be a commercial discovery, and we will announce the flow rate when it comes out. So we don't know exactly what it's going to be. However, well, I guess what we can say is that it looks similar in terms of the data we have so far to the data we had from VG3 at the same stage.
Yeah, and what is it? And VG3, what's that flowing at?
Well, VG3, following its test, the operator put in production facilities to accommodate up to 200 barrels of oil per day. And again, you know, we can't say what the VG4 flow rate will be, but it looks similar to VG3.
Yeah, and just to put people in perspective, I know you don't say that the NPVs because they're not released by you, but they are by the operators. But I'm looking at so America altogether. I mean, it's around about what? $235 million NPV on the American operations alone. Is that around about right?
Yeah, I mean, that's what the operator put in, released to us as the target. As the target NPV, I think it's fair to say that at West Brentwood now we've had two successful wells. You know, VG3, we said at the time, was better than our own internal economic modelling had been. So these NPV numbers are, you know, relatively are achievable in the event of success at all of these assets. Obviously, there are a lot of moving parts in there, not least being oil price, which is changing a lot over the last few months. So, you know, one has to always take these changing factors into account. But the one thing that's certainly for sure is that the returns we get on the capital we invest here are phenomenal at any reasonable oil price.
Yeah, and of course, you chuck on top of that your interest in WIC, which is around about $38 million NPV there, and that's just happened. So that's drilling right now, isn't it?
That's drilling right now, so that spud on Christmas Day. And drilling is going pretty much according to plan, so we would expect results from that in the relatively near future.
Yeah, and then the same rig will go on then to south to the south and drill Coulter, which is worth about $56 million NPV. So it's very exciting, busy time for you, isn't it?
It's an extremely exciting time, and you know, just to stress, we've set the company up very deliberately in this way so that we had this diverse and quite broad portfolio of opportunities, so that we can effectively, you know, we spread risk and we also give our investors exposure to a pretty constant stream of drilling results. Now we've got into the campaign. So we've had the second California well come in. We will be moving to Munrose well to drill that well that got delayed by the rain as soon as possible. There will be other California drilling this year as well. Then, as you say, we've got WIC drilling now. That will immediately be followed by Coulter. We then expect to be drilling in Romania, which is, again, a completely different project, but a very exciting project. That should be drilling in Q1 as well. And then finally, we have the West Newton appraisal well, which is the last project we got involved with up in the Humber Valley onshore in the UK, and that will be drilling in Q1 as well. So, you know, I'm hoping we're in the situation where as soon as we get to the point of talking about the result of one well, you know, we're already talking about activity related to the drilling of the next one.
Yeah, absolutely. Okay, well, one final thing, Stephen. If someone's listening to this, likes the sound of what you're doing, but are not yet following the story, give them three quick reasons why they should hit that follow button on your page on Vox and add you to their watch list, please.
Yeah, so I guess following the RNS today, the first thing is we now have a second successful California well. So we've drilled two wells, two successes. And the key thing with these wells is they go onto production very quickly and they'll be generating cash flow for the company almost immediately. So we've got this growing cash flow profile coming into the business. Secondly, there's a lot of running room associated with that California business. And given we've had success in the first two wells, I think we're feeling increasingly confident about the ability to continue to grow that business and to continue to generate increasing cash flow, as I talked about, from those assets. And thirdly, as we touched upon just a moment ago, you know, we really are at the most exciting point of our drilling campaign. We've drilled the first couple of wells, which were both successful, although they're the smaller type. We're really running into the larger wells starting as of right now.
Excellent stuff. Stephen, good to chat to you. And like I say, a busy period for you, so no doubt we'll be chatting again in the not-too-distant future. Thanks very much.
Superb. Thank you very much.
The Vox Markets Podcast with Justin Waite.
And joining me on the podcast right now is Chris Bailey, founder of FinancialOrbit.com. You all right, Chris? Happy New Year, by the way.
Yeah. Happy New Year, Justin. Yeah, very good. Very good, thank you. Well, I say good, obviously. Start of a new year, new excitements, perhaps too many excitements, who knows? But you've got to get up and at them, I reckon, for the new year.
Yeah, well, do you know what? Everyone has these new hopes, these new ideals, a bit of positivity at the start of the year. But all I'm seeing, and it's odd, when I tweet out this stuff, people don't like it or retweet it because, of course, most of them are investors and they want bullish news. But I said today, there's three more, in fact, four red flags today. And in my early morning sort of podcast, there's a macro podcast, five things you need to know. And there was several things in there that I thought, okay, this is more bad news coming out. And of course, bad news won't stop just because we're entering a new year. It's rolling momentum. It's a slowdown.
Yes.
So I was looking at one of them is Apple said they're going to have a bit of a profits warning because of China's slowdown. Apparently iPhone sales in China, apparently everything else is okay. There's also, which I didn't cover, but there was a bank in Italy had been taken over by the ECB to control that.
That's right.
Apparently we had, and this was a bit of a false red herring here. A while back, we had a boost, and I think in inventories or something quite positive. And it turns out now that factories are stockpiling for Brexit. So it wasn't an economic positive thing. And then, of course, you've got the Purchasing Managers Index in the UK, which is at a 2-year low. So it just, there's a lot of bad news out there, isn't there? You know?
There is. I mean, you know, my observation would be clearly that the world is slowing down. Mm-hmm. Now, some people will say, look, so long as we avoid a recession, then we can deal with the slowdown because things can't be gangbusters forever. And I think there is a little bit of truth in that. But clearly, you've got some specific things going on that are shocking people. Now, Apple, I've read somewhere that this is the first time for 7 or 8 years that they've actually surprised people in this way in the middle of their quarter, because of course they're going to report their next set of numbers in about 4 or 5 weeks' time. You know, they've had this little profit whoopsie, and as a consequence, the shares I see are likely to open much lower in New York later on today. So, you know, you think about these things and it hits sort of psychologically people. And obviously, you and I, Justin, we've been kicking around these markets for a little while. You know, we're not old or anything, but you know, we've been kicking around for a little while, and it for us we've seen up and down markets. But for some newer investors, or for those that have been drawn to the stock market by the untold riches apparently that people can make there, it's perhaps a bit of a shock, and it's that psychological impact after, you know, a few years of generally good returns, particularly if you're an American investor, that suddenly, oops, you know, this can go down and it does impact people's behaviour. So I think we've got a few things going on. Clearly in the UK, Brexit is a huge issue, and you know, we're not going to solve it on this podcast, and you know, clearly the politicians don't have a Scoobies half the time either, but clearly it's hugely influential and impacting companies and how companies, as you say, stockpile or choose to invest or create jobs or everything else. So many things to think about, but here's the best news. The best news is that I think two things are very apparent. Number one is people are already fearful, and that's a good thing, because if you're an investor and people are already worrying overtly about things like Brexit, about what Europe getting up to, is there a slowdown in China, some element of it will be factored in. Clearly, where it comes as a bit of a shock, like Apple, that's not the case. But I don't think anyone can really say they haven't been worried about Brexit for a little while. The second aspect is it tells you, above all things, that this is a stock-picking market. And if there's anything which us investors can get excited about, it's scurrying around looking for value, looking for opportunities, looking for those companies doing something interesting still, or at the wrong price, or offering an attractive dividend yield, or whatever you're looking for. Your chances of finding those sorts of opportunities are much better when people are cautious and fearful and worried.
Yeah. I mean, let's look at, you know, we've had, you know, I think like 2018, I said, I think will be known as a sort of death of the high street almost, and especially so the retailers in clothes and stuff like that having a hard time. Now, the giant of the, which it straddles online, does online quite well as well, is Next, of the high street. And everyone's, it's a bellwether, really. And so the trading update's out. How do they, you know, how do they fare?
Well, I actually thought Next shares when I last looked were up 3-4%, which was pretty good. Look, bottom line is they said the Christmas trading period for them was okay. November was tough, but December bounced back okay. So people did go into their stores and buy clothes, or into their home stores to buy home products. Ultimately, they very, very mildly tweaked down their profit guidance. But bottom line is, it was pretty good, and certainly compared to some of the lurid headlines of recent weeks, much better than what many people were thinking. So no surprise the share squeezed up a bit. The thing about Next is I think there's always some big levels on this share. And for me, £40 a share is a big old level. If you go back into the annals of time, it offered value below £40 a share a year or two ago. It has been trading higher, but I think around about £40 a share, it's an attractive entry point. It's a touch above that with the move up today. you're getting a 3% and a bit dividend yield. They're buying back shares. They've confirmed the outlook for next year. It's clearly not easy, but bottom line is they're continuing to buy back shares and generate cash in order to pay the dividends. There's no real profits growth there, but they are surviving and actually doing much more than surviving. I'm relatively, they're thriving. Online's growth is still good. You're right, the physical stores are seeing declines in sales. But the thing about Next is it is a survivor. And then it becomes, what price do you put on that share? Because it's a company that is going to persist for the foreseeable future, clearly. And I would suggest that the current single-digit multiple is a little bit rude. As I say, for me, anything near that £40 a share, it's a buying point. And, you know, those people brave enough to have done so a couple of weeks ago have been rewarded today. You know, retail is not a straight line. They'll be waxing and waning, particularly with the Brexit debate and everything else. And as a consequence, you will get other opportunities. But bottom line is the next numbers today, I thought, were quite good.
Yeah, and I think it's a bit of a, you know, separating the wheat from the chaff there, isn't it? I mean, let's be honest, as these other retailers struggle and die away and wither, you know, and you've got Next there, of course, I assume hold their market share or may even increase it. So I can't see them, like, they are the strongest, aren't they? One of the strongest. And even you've got pieces like, and I can't see a lot more competition coming in now, because even ASOS are not doing that well, you know?
Yes, that's right. Well, I think the thing with Next is not totally fashion led. I'm sure they would, if they were chatting to us now, they would disagree with this statement. But my observation is Next is a bit middle of the road. You know, it's the sort of place you go for sensible middle of the road sort of stuff. And as a consequence, they don't tend to have overt fashion misses, which might afflict something a bit more, maybe something a bit more ASOS like or H&M or something else. I think where they've become more relevant is that, unlike M&S, they are still sufficiently sort of mainstream and attractive to people to go there, whilst M&S people have clearly decided to go elsewhere for their various clothing options. I think so long as Next retain that model of being edgy enough not to make people believe, but not too edgy as to risk fashion miss, then actually I think they'll be okay. They've got a middle of the road positioning on the high street and obviously online as well. And let's not forget, online, they were the original innovators. You know, the Next directory, when obviously it was mail order initially, and then of course there was a jump to online. I mean, they've been doing online for longer than ASOS have even been dreaming about it. So, you know, they are the originals, and some would suggest, and I think, you know, my limited knowledge of these things, I would observe actually they are one of the best in terms of executing and knowing what they're doing there, as you would expect given all the experience they've accrued. So I think it's a sensible name. Not surprised to see it up today, not surprised to see it performing, but it tells us more generally and sort of from a market-wide perspective that despite all the bad headlines and everything else, there are things to be doing. And I think for investors, if you sort of take a step back, get away from the headlines, start focusing on fundamentals, or even better, come out to one of their stores in the case of Next and see what you think, you will get some insights and observations that maybe allow you to make a bit of money in 2019. I reckon your New Year's resolution should be get out, do more research, but also don't fret too much. You can make money this year.
Yeah. And like you say, a lot of it's hard to know how much is priced in, isn't it? There's a lot of worry out there, you know, like you say, there's Italian debt, there's Brexit, there's just a general slowdown of economies. But like I said, we've had the worst global sort of performance from stock markets pretty much since the financial crisis. You know, the US saw the worst December since the Great Depression. So you think a lot is sort of priced in here, you know? And when there's that much fear out there, you could say it's time to be a bit bullish, isn't it, you know?
Yep, it is. I mean, the thing you've got to always be aware of is what economists call a regime shift. And a regime shift is when you have a big fundamental change. And of course, that would be if effectively the world went into a recession. That would be a regime shift. Now, my feeling is, despite the best efforts of the Brexit political fraternity to bog it up, it isn't going to happen. And it's not so much because of Brexit and other stuff like that, but it's because I think the world trade talks, I think, are going to be okay. They're going to China and the US aren't going to blow up the world economy. It suits neither of them to do that shorter term. Trump ain't going to get re-elected if there's a recession in the States. You can definitely guarantee that. So I think on that basis, there are opportunities. Valuation is always difficult. I mean, valuation, my goodness, we could have podcast after podcast on valuation, just scratch the surface. And ultimately, it's a bit subjective because it's different environments, you pay different amounts for different shares. However, all I would say is get sort of down and dirty with company balance sheets and cash flow statements, because ultimately, all of the valuation stuff is subjective, but being aware of what is the revenue, profits and cash flow direction and momentum for the companies that you're thinking about investing in or are investing in, that tells you a lot. And then you make that with technical analysis or reading through company comments, what the management team is saying, sort of big thematic economic stuff. You know, you can put together that picture how you see fit. But ultimately, a few numbers help you out and just give you that little bit of feel for where things are, and then start exhibiting a bit of common sense. You know, if you are getting a 5% dividend yield from your investments, which is much more than the bank, and when you look at the numbers, it seems to be sustainable, then probably that's going to be an okay investment. It's where something isn't sustainable, where profits are going down, you know, double digit or more, where dividends are being slashed and cut, where a particular sector is coming under huge pressure because of a change of government policy or something like that. That's where you have problems. But I would say for the general investor, there are opportunities in 2019. Don't be too fearful, but for goodness sake, get out there and do some work. And as always with money and investments, the harder you work, the luckier you get.
Yeah, absolutely. And do you know what I've said a while back? It's not too bad to have in the background the thought that, you know, economy's slowing down, because that makes you more wary, puts you much more time into research. Because if you find a bargain and you think, well, hang on, you've got to find out why is this so cheap, you know, you realise then in a downturn, it may not turn down that much because you find the big high growth stories that have to deliver, you know, high numbers. Those are the ones that take a big hit in downturns. But the ones that are plodding along, generating cash and consistently, you know, increasing that cash they're generating, do well, you know, won't take a hit. And if they're paying a dividend, you know, you do very well over the long term. So anyway, marvellous stuff, Chris. Thanks for that, fella. And I guess there are not many other companies reporting as yet, are they?
No, not at the moment, but there's going to be a bunch of them over the next week. Lots of retail, as you would expect. I doubt very much whether some of them will exhibit the same quality as next, but we'll have to see.
Yeah, it'd be interesting to see who will be the first casualty, you know? I think there's going to be one.
There is definitely going to be a few. There's definitely going to be a few, no doubt about that.
Apart from HMV, I don't count HMV because that's been a casualty already, and now I don't see why they went for it again, thinking like DVDs with sales are going to pick up sometime in the future. But, you know, let's see who it is, because I'm sure there will be one or two in the next few months. Chris, thanks for that, and we'll speak next week, fella.
Sounds a plan. See you soon.
Okay, it's time for the top five most followed companies on Vox Markets in the last 24 hours. They are at five, Itaconics, ITX. At four, Rehobold Resources, RBD, just had Steve on the podcast. At three, Block Energy, BLOE, ticker there. At two, Rock Rose Energy, RRE. And number one, most followed company, very rare, it's a FTSE 100 company, but today it's Next, which I discussed, of course, with Chris Bailey on the podcast just a few minutes ago. Okay, top five most liked RNSs are as follows. We have at five, Sunrise Resources, New Pearl Project Test Results. At four, Vast Resources, Director Share Purchase. At three, Asia Met Resources, Exercise of Broker Warrants. At two, Rehobold Resources. I had Steve on the podcast, of course, earlier. Successful result of VG4Well at West Brentwood in California. And number one, most liked RNS came from Anglo African Oil and Gas. Update on wells TLP 101 and TLP 102. That's it for the podcast. Thanks for listening. Muchos apreciados.
The Vox Markets Podcast with Justin Waite. Nothing in this podcast is intended as investment advice, and the people in this podcast may hold positions in the stocks they talk about. Do not buy anything based solely on a tip or recommendation. Please do your own research.